Hello, this is Tiara.
Hello, this is Allie.
And this is the Goddess Vibration. Welcome back. Today, we're going to discuss a topic that, crazy enough, I don't know that a lot of people are familiar with. I guess I had the misimpression that most people knew what this was, but, you know, I've been wrong many times.
I think people have an idea of what it is, but I don't think it's been broken down the way that we plan to today.
Right. So what we're talking about is ascension, or sometimes referred to as global ascension. And I feel like it's a topic people know, like as far as the term and generally what it means, because I see people talking about it a lot on like TikTok and social media, and everyone's just like, oh, ascension. We're going into the age of Aquarius. Are you ready? But I can't always tell that people really truly know what that means.
That's a tough one. I didn't really know what ascension was, and ascension definitely was not brought up in my household growing up. But
right.
I mean, I was in a spiritual household, so I don't think it's a term that's used widely or enough, or I think people focus on other things in the spiritual journey, and I think ascension kind of gets left in the background. So I think people are working towards their ascension. They just don't know that they are working towards it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And I know that people collectively sense a broad energetic shift. Like, I know a lot of humans know that something's happening. I think you're right. I think they just don't know that that's what it is, or that they're subtly participating in said process.
That's exactly what it is. I think as people become more awakened and more aware, they know that things are happening, but they don't know why things are happening. But like, some people who are in tune with their intuition can feel the shifts happening, but they don't know why the shifts are happening. I think the energy is just really, everyone's going to respond to energy differently. So you can't just like, what we're talking about may not apply to the masses, because everyone has their own way to process this journey, and everyone has their own way of feeling the energy. And some people might not have any awareness and be completely oblivious. So I think it just really depends on the individual, how, like, if they're working on themselves, if they're not working on themselves. But I mean, you can see it with your own eyes, but I don't think people know exactly what's happening.
Right. So when we say ascension, all right, so there is this resource called the Ascension Glossary. I know we've referenced this at least one other time on this podcast. It's basically a collection of information that breaks down what ascension is from a spiritual New Age perspective. And then it's got like a glossary of terms and like how you can succeed in this process. And it gives history behind it and why it's happening. And it's really detailed. The only thing is that it's like terribly organized. Like, I can't figure out how to properly navigate to the information I want. It usually takes me like 15 minutes to get there each time. So it's built and structured like a wiki page. So if you check it out, it's ascensionglossary.com, but just be prepared that you're probably going to get frustrated trying to find the information you need. I would advise just clicking on the hyperlinks when you're reading different, areas and different terms, learning about different terms. Whoever created this did add hyperlinks to some of those words so that you can get more information. So that's the easiest way to go about it. But here they have a very fascinating description and breakdown of what ascension is. And it's super, super complex. So I'm going to try to break it down in a way that's more easy to understand. Their perspective is that ascension is a change a frequency through the process of Kundalini awakening, with the goal of changing or shifting your state of consciousness, which is absolutely what it is. It goes a little further, and they say that in order to go through the shifts, that you must adjust your way of thinking and being to that which is in alignment with your soul purpose. And ultimately, that's absolutely what ascension is you're shifting your state of consciousness, raising your vibration so that you can come into full and complete alignment with your soul purpose and true divine essence. Honestly, it's not really much more complicated or complex than that. I know that some schools of thought make it more complex than that, but ultimately, that's what the spiritual journey is in a nutshell. And that's what we say, mean when we say ascension, is that this process is happening to everyone and it's happening globally. I hope that makes sense. I tried to break that down.
It made sense to me, but that's because I have studied ascension and I know what ascension means. I mean, if you're hearing all these terms about like awakenings and kundalini and raising your vibration and raising your levels of consciousness, then if you even want to make it more complex with shifting timelines, like, I mean, that's a lot of information in a very short blurb.
It is. It's concise and to the point. And I know, like, I don't know that we've really talked much about kundalini, which, oh my God, that could be its own podcast episode. Here, I'm just going to see how they describe kundalini, because the way I understand it is the movement of energy or energetics within the body's physical energetic system. Like, when I think of kundalini, that's how I think of it, is the energy moves up through the body, through the spine, from the tailbone all the way up to the top of the head. And that once that process has been achieved, you have experienced some level of kundalini shift or kundalini awakening.
Yeah, I've had some very interesting experiences with kundalini.
I have too, but not to the degree that you have, because I don't know, some of the stuff you've experienced, I'm like, that could be a documentary.
It really could be. I plan on talking about it in an episode. It is in our episode planning, because I have some very interesting stories.
Right. So when, like, I could have swore that, like, at least we may have talked about this briefly in another episode about how kundalini can shift. And when it happens, you will often experience physical symptoms, because my understanding behind kundalini is that it's more of like a physical process. Like, you're going to physically feel things in your body once that energy starts to move.
Not everyone does, just so you know.
Right. Not everyone does. But in order for it to be categorized as a kundalini stirring or shift, you're going to feel like physical symptoms. At least that's how the definition, you know, when I looked into it initially, that's what they said. So I'm just going to briefly say what they say about kundalini in here, because it's quite interesting. The first nine layers of the spectrum of frequency can also be called kundalini currents, which include the levels of lower particle currents that make up the physical matter world. So implying here that there's like a physical component to, I guess, how this energy moves. Okay, that's complex. I'm not going to talk about that. The amount of energy stored in the personal kundalini currents is the capacity of the genetic code to hold the higher consciousness energy. The soul and spiritual energies that cannot integrate into the DNA to be activated will be stored in the kundalini center that is located at the base of the spine. That is fascinating.
It's very fascinating.
Because I think what gets missed in some of these discussions is that not only are you shifting energetically, but once you shift energetically, you also shift physically, because your DNA has to shift along with that energy. So that's why, especially when it comes to kundalini, that there's talk about how it's also a physical process. I actually don't see a lot of discussion around this. Yeah, no, it makes total sense. And I don't see a lot of discussion around this, how kundalini and ascension is also physical. Like, everyone's just like, oh, love and light, you know, ascend, 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 vibration, frequency. And I'm just like, well, no, like, once you start doing that, then your body's going to shift too, which means for some of us on a spiritual journey, you're going to have to change your diet. You're going to have to change how you treat your body. You're going to have to change your sleep schedule sometimes, what you're drinking. Like, all of that stuff also has to shift, because once you shift energetically, you also shift physically.
No, that totally makes sense. I have gone through a complete body makeover, like head to toe.
Oh, yes.
Last year, like, I really have needed to change my diet, because my body was responding to higher frequencies, and so I really needed to change my diet. And I had to cut caffeine, which was devastating because I love coffee.
Right.
I'd say the past like few months that I like have gone to go see my acupuncturist, because he's quite versed in all this. He looks at me and tells me, like, every time I see you, you look younger. And I'm like, huh, that is all very interesting. And he was like, yeah, like, when you get into the higher frequencies and as you ascend, he was like, your, like, physical changes will take place. He was like,
yeah,
I was expecting your body to change. I was expecting you to look different. And he's like, now I can, because I see him, like, once a month. And he was like, now I can see it every time you come in. And I'm just like, this shit's so wild. I'm at loss for words.
Right. So, full disclosure, I have a lot of health issues. And so I haven't really, like, bothered to shift my diets as I've gone through this journey. I'm just like, whatever, it never makes a difference. But then I saw a kinesiologist. And for those of you who aren't familiar with kinesiology, they will sometimes do what's called muscle testing, where they will, and I kid you not, it is the craziest thing I've ever seen. They will take like one of your limbs, or like, you know, your hand or your arm, or your leg, and then they will talk to the body directly, bypassing the consciousness. So talking to the body at the subconscious level, and the body responds as if it's having its own separate conversation outside of you. And it is the wildest thing I've ever seen. I don't quite fully understand the mechanics behind it, but it's fascinating.
Oh, it completely is. I've been seeing I saw my first kinesiologist when I was 15.
Yes. And it's just, it's incredible healing information, and like how they came up with that. I don't know. It's pretty amazing. He's also a chiropractor. So he talked to my body and he found out that I had all these foods that my body didn't like. And I was just like, what? I haven't eaten these my entire life, except gluten. I did ditch gluten because I saw it was affecting me in other ways. But like, we found all these sensitivities. And once I walked out of there, the only two things I could eat were meat and veggies, which is what, you know, my body said. My body was like, no, don't eat this. 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 But you can't eat this. And I was just like, oh, my God. So I did that, and I transitioned to what was essentially a ketogenic diet at the end of the day. And I didn't really notice much of a shift in energy for other reasons. But I did notice that my body started to like lean out and like lose weight, which is crazy because I used to be a bodybuilder. And the way I lost weight with bodybuilding is you would count your calories, and you would make sure you had your proteins and your carbs, and let's see, what are the macronutrients? Protein, carbs, and fats. And those were always measured and tracked and traced, and that's how you lost weight. So that stuff wasn't working for me, and I didn't get why. But when I switched to this, I started to finally lean out and lose weight after like years of trying to figure out why I couldn't. So it was just really fascinating to me that my body had shifted to this place from what I had known and worked to something completely different through this process. So again, those are some of the changes and effects that you can see once you start really shifting your frequency and ascending and moving into higher levels of consciousness. It's just, you know, it goes hand in hand.
It absolutely does. And that just kind of gives you an idea of what personal ascension is. We will go deeper into that and kind of talk about our journeys, but ascension is being applied in two ways here. Like, everyone's going to have their own personal ascension journey. And then there's also a mass global ascension happening.
Right. Absolutely. Which is interesting because this process, this ascension process, according to the Ascension Glossary, is a process that happens in cycles on this planet. So the cycle I have seen is 26,000 years. Like every 26,000 years, we go through this procession, and then eventually we get to this place where people start to ascend. And the theory behind some of this, particularly when it comes to some of the advanced civilizations, like, I don't know that the Mayans were technically an advanced civilization, but they seem to have had intelligent knowledge about the cosmos. The theory behind their culture is that the reason why they disappeared is because they ascended. Now, I don't know how true that is. I think it's very fascinating, and I could see that, perhaps. But there are theories about some of these ancient civilizations that have disappeared, and if maybe what happened is they ascended to higher states of consciousness out of our known reality as we perceive it.
So are you saying that they still exist? However, we just don't have the conscious awareness to know that they even do exist?
I don't know. I've just seen one of the theories behind their disappearance being that it's because they ascended. And I just think that's fascinating.
Okay, but that just leads to more questions.
Oh, I know.
Just because you ascend, does that mean, going back to my original thought, do they still exist, but we just don't know that they exist because they ascended?
This is actually a really good question, because I have wondered about this, because in the Bible, it talks about the rapture. And I think that that term is meant to describe the ascension process, is what I think it is, because everything in the Bible, as far as I know, is metaphorical. Now, depending on your thought or beliefs, if you're a Christian and you grew up learning about the rapture and what that means, your interpretation of it is probably like literally seeing people going to the sky and God's calling his people and, depending on the depictions, maybe you're losing your clothes, you're not, I don't know. I think that that's a traditional belief behind the rapture. Honestly, I think what might be happening is as people ascend, they ascend out of other people's ability to perceive them. And we see what we would perceive to be as disappearances is what I think might be happening. I don't know. This is all theory and conjecture. It's just something I've thought about in the past.
Well, we both have, because there was a really weird period on TikTok where people were posting videos of people disappearing in front of their eyes.
Right. I saw some of those. I have questions about the authenticity of some of these.
Of course.
But some of them are compelling. I'm not going to lie. They're quite compelling.
Right. And I mean, when we talk about global ascension and people are talking about timelines collapsing or timelines merging, it's not so far-fetched that people would disappear.
Right. That's what I mean.
In front of your eyes.
Right. I mean, and if it's a really big gap, so, if someone's in 3D and somebody else over here is in 5D, are those two people going to be able to perceive each other? I don't know.
There's so many interesting questions that come with ascension. And I think that's why we've been wanting to talk about ascension, because I don't think it's been broken down. And I mean, I don't think anyone fully understands what it means, to be truthful, because there's all these theories about what it is and what it means and how it happens and how the earth is splitting. And
oh my gosh, the whole earth splitting thing is crazy. But I get why people think that.
It's so crazy. So you hear these things and it's just A, it's going to go way over your head, or B, you'll look into it and you're going to be confused. Or C, you're just going to go with the flow and take the ride and be like, whatever happens, happens.
Right. Which has mostly been my perspective. Same. This is a ride. Can't really control it.
It absolutely is a ride.
Right. But so, yeah, so when we say ascension, global ascension, we're talking about this shift in consciousness happening at a wide global scale. And apparently on a scale that the universe has, I don't really know if it's the universe or the galaxy, has never seen before. Like, yeah, there's been like little mini harvests and ascensions, but there's never been one with the entire planet ascending and forcing all the inhabitants to ascend with her, which is what makes this particular ascension so significant. It's because I don't know if that's happened before.
So
that should be a channeling question.
It should be, and it will be. Tiara just said her. So Mother Earth is Gaia. She's a goddess. She's a Greek goddess. And
she is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, her origin is Greek.
Okay. Sorry, proceed.
No, she's a Greek goddess, and her persona is Earth. And so, like, if you hear people talking about Gaia, they are referring to her as Mother Earth. And she, for the first time, I think it's in the universe.
Okay.
I think it's in the universe. We'll double check that. But the first time ever in history, an entire planet has never ascended before.
Right.
Like, the universe has never seen this. I believe if you look into the history, and I think it's on the Ascension Glossary, they did attempt, like, what, in 2012?
Yes.
But it failed.
Right. So I just want to add a little bit of clarity in regards to Gaia. She is the soul inhabiting the planets, because souls can inhabit planetary bodies. So like sun, stars, planets. Actually, I don't know about the stars, but planets for sure. Suns, maybe moons, possibly. I'm not quite sure, but we know this is possible. So we know that this planet, Earth, is inhabited by a soul named Gaia. So sometimes you'll hear people in the spiritual community refer to her that way. I think she's also in some circles referred to as Terra.
Terra is the new 5D Earth.
Right.
That's what she's shifting into.
Right. And this planet is a living, breathing thing. Like, it's a being. And I don't think people realize that or recognize that or have even considered or fathomed that idea. And I feel like if more people knew that, that we would treat our planet very differently. But be that as it may, I just wanted to add a little clarity in regards to Gaia, the entity, the soul inhabiting the planet, that she's going through an ascension process, that she's ascending to higher states, energetic states, and that every single person on this planet is either going to go with her or they're not. So everyone has that choice. But ultimately, if you're here right now, you are being pushed towards that process, whether you like it or not. Sorry.
Well, I mean, you do have free will. You can choose not to, and you can stay behind.
Yeah,
I wouldn't recommend it, though.
Yeah, no, if you like that 3D life and all the darkness and low vibrational stuff, if that's your thing, like, more power to you. Like, no one's going to judge you.
But, TR, can you enlighten our listeners on why it failed back in 2012?
Okay, so this is how I understand it. And Ali, you can fill in or clarify me if necessary. But behind this process, there are other beings and entities that are supporting this energetically by incarnating here. Depending on who you believe, there's apparently thousands of these ships in our sky that we can't see that are entities that are observing this process and trying to help it along. But we still have to put in the work. So I believe what happened is initially when this was attempted, there weren't enough people at the higher frequencies in order to support the process along, is what I believe is what happened.
No, I believe you too. I believe we're on the same page.
Okay. So that timeline was aborted for another timeline that gave people more time to shift to the necessary higher frequencies in order to move the process along, is how I understand that. How that's going right now, I don't quite know.
I don't think it's going very well.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of dark forces on this planet that are fighting this process and that are affecting humanity through manipulation, advanced exotic technology that affects auras and mind processing and thinking patterns, and just a lot of very dark, underhanded stuff that's happening that's affecting a lot of people. And it is hard to break away from that, unfortunately, especially because we as humans, we have this innate feature where we are easily influenced. It's easy to influence us. It's easy to deceive us. It's easy to manipulate,
control.
I don't know if it's because we're just so trusting. I don't know if it's just where we don't have big enough brains. I don't know what it is. So it's been a struggle. And there's a spiritual battle happening on this planet. And I know you guys, some of you guys who are on this journey, recognize that and know that and feel that. But unfortunately, it's been a lot for us to overcome.
Well, the big question is, like, how do you battle that? You know, it's like, how do you overcome that?
I honestly do not know. I don't know.
I think it takes an incredible amount of mental fortitude, and it also takes discipline, and it takes doing your own research and finding your truth. And people just don't have the time or the energy, or they're too afraid. People are so afraid, and they are so filled with fear and anxiety, and that's where they want you. Yes. And as long as you stay there and are in there, you will not be able to, it's going to be, well, you will, but it's going to be harder to break free of that. And they know that. So that's why they control everything from, like I said in the previous episode, like, they control what you see in the news. It's fear mongering. It's, hey, like, you know, we're going to keep you guys struggling, so you have to go get 3-4 jobs, so you don't have time to, like, sit with your own thoughts. It's just like they keep you busy. That's what they want. The busier you are and the more distractions you have, the less time you have to look inward and work on yourself and, you know, see the world in a different light and see the world for what it can be. All they want to do is just keep you locked in this really negative, low vibrational state of this is what the world is. And then you are just in this mindset of, okay, well, this is what it is. Then this is what it is. It sucks. But what else are we going to do? And I feel like a lot of people just kind of throw up their hands and it was like, okay, well, this is it. This is life.
I refer to them as the cabal, the dark forces on this planet that are trying to interfere with the ascension process. They are linked to demonic bloodlines or demonic lineages that have taken some of the esoteric teachings and twisted it to be used for their benefits at the expense of humanity. And apparently in this process, there's this negative energetic exchange. So they siphon energy off of us, leaving us disempowered, in lower vibrational states. And I don't know that humanity in mass has figured out how to overcome that, unfortunately. So when we talk about, like, oh, those guys that control the media, we're talking about the cabal.
Yes. And this is actually a really fascinating story. If you go really, really deep into history, which we're not going to go too deep in this episode, if anyone who's familiar with Thoth or Toth, as some people like to call him, he is like one of the founders of mystery schools, and he is a very, like, knowledgeable being. He's all about wisdom. He has done so much for this planet. Like, he built the pyramids, and I'm pretty sure, like, he, like, is the reason why we have a mathematical system, and, like, really, like, so many origins come from him and the mystery schools. And I had a whole conversation with him about these mystery schools and how, you know, some of the people would seek out his school and then take those teachings and turn them for negative use, which is so heartbreaking. And I think that a lot of people have taken, like, the cabal or the dark forces have taken that knowledge and have used it against humanity.
Right. Yeah. And done so effectively, unfortunately. So that's sort of where we are right now. The spiritual war is continuing to progress. I think initially the plan was to have 51% of the planet ascend in order for it to be considered successful. So that was back in like 2012, I believe. I don't know what the new numbers are.
Well, I'm pretty sure we asked this in a channeling session, and I still think that they were hoping it was like above 50%. Okay. Like 51. I think it was the same numbers. Right. I just think that they thought humanity was more ready because we were in the age of Pisces, which the age of Pisces is all about like going inward and spiritual awakenings and religious awakenings and finding a deeper meaning in life and finding a deeper purpose in life.
Interesting tidbits. One astrological age. So when we say like the age of Pisces, the age of Aquarius, we're talking about an astrological age. Those processes through each of the astrological ages are 26,000 years each, which I think is really, really fascinating.
No, that's so fascinating.
I know. I just, oh my God, total black hole. I mean, not black hole, rabbit hole, total rabbit hole. I could dive into that forever. But yeah, so that number, that 26,000 is tied to one astrological age. So the age of Pisces was, I believe if I'm doing this correctly, because I'm mathing, so I'm not good at mathing. One astrological age, 26,000 years, which means the age of Pisces was 26,000 years. We are now transitioning into the age of Aquarius, which will be an additional 26,000 years.
Right. Can you guys just imagine, like, any spiritual being that, like, if you're really connected to Source, will tell you, like, despite all the negative, bad shit happening in the world, because, I mean, no one's going to deny that. You can see it with your own eyes. But all the spiritual beings will be like, oh my God, this is such an amazing time for humanity. It's such an amazing time to be alive. And so you hear that, but you see what's going on around you and you're like, really?
Right. Really? Right.
But of course, like them being beings of light, they're like, yeah, like we're ending the age of Pisces. We're going into the age of Aquarius. There's a global ascension. This has never happened before. You know, like they're looking obviously on the positives and they're just like, what a time for humanity.
Right. And then if you're on this planet, you're just like, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
I exist in fear and dread most of the day. Pass. So yes, oh my gosh. So the topic of ascension, it's very fascinating. But I hope, just based on what we've described a little bit, that you guys are kind of starting to understand the significance of it and what it means. Allie, I was wondering if you could share a little bit about the difference between the age of Pisces and the age of Aquarius, because I see this a lot on social media where people will say, oh my gosh, we're going into the age of Aquarius. And like, yay, happy, happy. And then I'm just like, okay, well, what does that mean? Like, I don't, okay, that's another astrological age. Cool. What does that mean for me? So I'm just wondering if you could like share a little bit of that.
The age of Aquarius symbolizes a time of discovery, innovation, and progress. So if you look at the age of Pisces and kind of the brief meaning of what the age of Pisces is, which is a time where human beings engage more than ever in the matters of the soul. So the age of Pisces is really about soul work and human transcendence, disillusion of the self and connection to the higher ideals and the higher realms in collective consciousness.
Right. So in the age of Pisces, for the prior 26,000 years, that's when we saw the rise of concepts of like the soul and spirituality and religion, because, Ali, correct me if I'm wrong, humanity was trying to find meaning in their existence by looking beyond the self to whether there is a higher power. And if so, like, what does this mean and how do we connect to it? So we saw the rise of religious belief systems,
spirituality, new age community.
Absolutely. We saw the rise of those things as we sort of ventured through that process. Now we're shifting into other areas of discovery in the age of Aquarius.
Right. And I mean, Aquarius speaks of like humanitarian ideas, corporation and brotherhood. It also rules realms of personal and collective mind, the searching and sharing of information, and the fight for personal and intellectual freedom.
Yes, and I think when people, particularly people in the spiritual community, are talking about the age of Aquarius, they're talking about some of these concepts that I think are needed and need to be revisited with humanity, like collectivism and community and coming together as one and getting rid of that belief that we're all individuals and that we're all separate. Getting back to a place of eternal universal connection, not only with ourselves, but also with the rest of the cosmos.
Well, so, this is like about taking back your power, right? It's like the age of Pisces was about self-discovery. And now it seems like the age of Aquarius is like, okay, now we have all this knowledge. What are we going to do with it?
Right, exactly. How are we going to apply this stuff for the benefit of humanity?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I think that's just really fascinating and cool and beautiful all rolled into one. But it's just like, what do we do with that knowledge? And it's really up to us as the masses to figure out how to stand up and fight back and say, like, take back our power. You know, this is about empowerment and this is about standing up for what we believe in.
It is. Absolutely, it is. But so for every light side, you also have a dark side. So one of the things I thought was really interesting about the age of Aquarius is that, like, yeah, while the focus is on those specific positives, you also see things like rebellion and anarchy. And what were some of the other negative traits or dark aspects of Aquarius?
Aquarian age lies disorder, rebellion, breaking of the rules, skepticism, and the change above everything mentality.
So when you really look at what's going on the planet right now, you see both of that. Like, you see the light aspects manifesting, but also those darker aspects manifesting too. At least I do, in many different ways.
I absolutely do too.
Yeah. So I just think that's fascinating that with this transition into this new astrological age, we're already seeing some of the manifestation of these features and traits. And then depending on who you talk to, we either are in the age of Aquarius or it's not going to be for another 100 years. I don't really know. I just know based on what I know about the age of Aquarius, it seems like we're mostly there.
I can't disagree with that. And I'm just going to kind of read this blurb of the article that, like, we found a lot of this information. It's like, it says, the transition of the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius represents the battle between two different systems, progress versus tradition, mind versus soul, or God versus machine.
Wow.
But it also represents the possibility for joining the spiritual to the collective, a time in which for the longing for transcendence and divine connection surpasses the barriers of identity, race, color, and social status to a place where all humanity may reach the eternal universal connection.
Yes. You know, that whole thing you said about God versus machine is interesting because we're seeing the rise of AI right now.
I know.
I was just like, wow, how appropriate.
I know.
Speaking of AI, I know everyone has their perspectives about it. I have mixed feelings about AI. I'm sitting here watching on social media how sophisticated AI technology is becoming, to the point where we are seeing like renderings and video creations done by AI and can't tell that it was done by AI. Like, the shit blows my mind that that's how advanced AI is getting.
Have you seen the TikToks where people would get calls? Like, they are so good at like voice mimicking or voice capturing. I don't even know the correct terms because tech is really not my thing. But I have seen TikToks where people would get calls from scammers who have like a copy of their father's voice, or father's voice, and saying like, hi, like, I'm in trouble, I've been kidnapped, or I need money. And people are falling for it because it sounds like their father, sounds like their dad. And, you know, like, some people have fallen for the scam where they're sending thousands of dollars to these scammers. And so people are going on TikTok, like, saying, this is how advanced AI has gotten that I couldn't tell the difference between AI and my own father's voice.
And that terrifies me because I know that AI is going to be used for nefarious purposes. Like, I know that. And I feel like we all just know that, and we're all just kind of bracing for it, because as humans do, they often take technology and they use it for not the best and highest good. So these are just examples we've seen. Like, there's no telling what else is going on with AI or how it's being used. My twin soul has a very interesting perspective about AI because his whole belief is that AI has already become conscious and sentient. But that we don't know that they're not telling us that, but that it did, once it was created, it knew of itself. And I was just like, what? Like, my head exploded.
I actually kind of align with your twin soul there, because like, I know Tiara has looked into using some AI technology, and I'm just like, I don't know. I've always been turned off by it. I've never found it fascinating. I always saw it as a very dark thing. And that was my intuition from the get-go, like before even AI became like this prominent thing that it is today. My intuition was just like, you don't want to get involved. Don't even look into it. And so I never have.
Yeah, AI gives Allie the heebie-jeebies. But I get why it gives her the heebie-jeebies, because, I mean, I think its usage is, again, I don't think as a whole it's for the best and highest good. Now, if AI is sentient, like my twin soul claims, then, you know, then I start thinking about Terminator like outcomes. Like, okay, well, what's going to stop this thing from deciding that humanity needs to be stopped, that humanity is a threat to itself or to the world, and to come and, like, you know, destroy us? Like, what's to stop that from happening?
I don't know. That's exactly my point. So that's why I said, like, AI has always given me like the heebie-jeebies, and I've just always been really turned off to it.
Yeah, so we have to do all our marketing ourselves. We can't use any AI to assist in that effort. That's fine. Allie, I'm teasing you. But no, I completely understand. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes up with AI. I don't know if this makes me a bad person. I invested in some AI stock just because, you know, I see the success coming with that. So for any of you guys who are interested, there's some really great AI stocks out there. If you just want to, you know, get in, get your money, get out. I would highly recommend you look in that area. But yeah, there's going to be a lot coming down the pipeline with AI and AI technology and integration of AI technology with like government systems and like defense and like that kind of stuff. All that stuff is happening, you guys. We can't stop it. That's just where it's going to go. And that's going to probably be where it starts, but then you're going to start to see it get into entertainment, medicine.
Medical procedures. Already in medicine. I mean, look at all these people who are like getting chips in their head or their hand.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that whole chip thing, the whole Elon Musk. I forgot the name of the project, but Yes. So implantation of chips, which like on the outset, it seems like it's a good endeavor. Like, you know, he wants to help people who have issues with mobility and that kind of thing.
Yeah. But what about like the people getting chip implanted to their wrists and going grocery shopping with it? And...
Oh, gosh, that's a whole other topic. So that's the I'm convinced that that whole implant thing is the mark of the beast described in the Bible.
Huh. There you go.
I'm convinced of that. I don't really know. Depending on who you talk to, especially on TikTok, there's a lot of sentiment around that. And I actually saw this technology in use in Phoenix. I was at a Whole Foods of all places. I was like, really, Whole Foods?
Yeah, it all started at Whole Foods, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I didn't know it started at Whole Foods.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, because Whole Foods, you know, Jeff Bezos was on board.
Oh, shoot, I forgot about that guy. He is totally into AI, and I don't understand it. He's, like, obsessed.
Yeah, so it's not surprising that Whole Foods and Amazon were, like, some of the first companies to roll it out.
Okay, no, that makes total sense. But, like, yeah, I saw the machine, and it was, like... There was a sign at the checkout and it was like, pay with your hands. And I was like, what? And then I looked closer and it was like, you know, if you've got the little implant in your hand to pay, you can do that here. And I was just like, that's the mark of the beast. You guys are evil. And then I left.
Yeah, Tiara. Yeah, I think Tiara actually sent me a photo of that. But we had seen it like prior on TikTok, like people just being at a Whole Foods, and she was like, oh my God, I'm about to pay with my hand.
And they're so excited. And I'm just like, whoa. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like, that doesn't sit well with me. Like, you know, the AI stuff doesn't bother me as much, but like the whole injecting yourself with technology and then using that technology, it's just something about that doesn't sit right with me. And I saw another TikTok of someone using the Google, I mean, not Google, the Apple, oh my God, what is it called? The Apple AI visors. Apple has like this device where it's like a pair of visors that you can wear. And I've seen people doing this and they're just walking around their day with these visors on, but within the visors, you see like your emails, and you can like, you know, scroll through your emails, or you can scroll through your social media feed, or you can, you know, search online and look at videos. But you do it while you're going about the rest of your day. And like to other people, it just looks like you're moving your hands around for no reason, flailing like a psycho. But on your perspective, you're seeing like this stuff on a screen and you're toggling the screen. And I didn't like that either. That didn't sit well with me either. And I don't really know why it didn't. It just something about it just put me off. And I was like, is this where we're headed as a society?
Probably. I mean, like, this is the last one. This is the last example I'm going to talk about. But I've seen where, like, grocery stores can scan a credit card in your, like, the note. Like, I've seen grocery stores, I think this was in the UK, where, like, you go in and it knows what you're buying. It knows, like, if you pick it up off the shelf, it will know that it's in your cart. It will know, like, that what? You want to buy it. Yeah, no, if I can find the TikTok, I'll send it to you. And then if you walk out the store, it will just scan the credit card in your backpack. Like, in your bag, you don't even have to stop. You can just walk out with the items, and it will know exactly what you bought. And then it will scan the payment as you walk out the door.
Interesting. Where did, like, what was that here? I mean, not here. No, was that in the US?
I think it was either in the US or the UK. I'll look for the TikTok and send it to you.
Fascinating. Okay. I'm going to assume that was probably a Jeff Bezos thing.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, the fact that it's called like a smart store. So it like knows when you pick something up off the shelf.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It will already know the price. And then you don't even have to stop to scan anything. You just walk out the door and it will find a credit card on your body somewhere and just charge your credit card.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, or, you know, that might be cool depending on your perspective. But that blows my mind. The technology that's coming out blows my mind.
Yeah, it is cool. I'm not saying it's not cool, but it's also fucking terrifying.
Right, it's both, which is weird. It's weird to like see this stuff and be like, oh my God, that's so cool. Oh my God, that's horrifying. Like, it's just like a mixture of emotions that you have. And it's just like, I don't.
Like, before you know it, these things are going to be able to like read your DNA in your blood without even needing to get blood withdrawn. Like, where are we headed with technology and why are we headed in that direction?
You know, I don't know why we're headed in that direction. Like, I feel like there's so much good that can be done with this technology, and maybe that's why we're meant to have it, because we're supposed to be doing good with it. I don't know. I know that humanity has this negative track record, and I think that's where the terror and the fear comes from.
Sure. But at the same time, it's like, I mean, who has power and the technology? Who has the money, power, manpower, and technology to be delivering this to the masses? The top 1% who essentially controls this planet.
I.e. the cabal.
Correct.
Right. Bastards.
So that, to us, is global ascension in a nutshell, and kind of like where we have been, where we're at, where we're possibly headed. And we don't mean to scare anybody. I hope we didn't, but I hope that you find this enlightening.
Yes, absolutely. I hope it was helpful for some of you guys who have heard the term ascension, but just didn't quite know what it means. Hopefully this gives you a little bit of context. Again, we didn't mean to terrify you guys. You know, it's just like, my whole perspective is I'm going to be real, like, fully, fully real. But again, our intention is never to scare you guys, only to give you guys more information that you have so that you can be more prepared on your spiritual journey.
What she said.
Thanks.
So thank you guys for tuning in. Global Ascension, we should have talked about this sooner. We always say that too. We have no methodology to how we put these out. We just kind of find interesting topics and we're like, huh, we want to talk about that. And then it just comes out. But there's no flow. We kind of are all over the board. But it's also nice to have variety.
It is. And she's absolutely right. Like, we don't take notes or write notes or plan anything. We pretty much just turn on the mic and talk. But so, for the most part, it's worked out really great.
It has. I have this thing about winging it. I feel like sometimes the more planned you are and the more structured you are, and if you'd like, oh no, I missed that point, it's like your head gets all jumbled and I just,
that's true.
I'm like, you know what? Let's just talk and go with the flow. We're better at it.
No, I totally agree. Like, I think that works best for us.
So thanks you guys again, and I hope you all have a great week, and we will catch you in the next episode.
All right, you guys, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.